going to look at a passage in Scripture which some of you will be very familiar with, and some of you maybe not so, depending on how much you've read your Bible or been walking with the Lord on however long. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 this morning, a wonderful subject from Jesus. And we're going to take a look at these few verses, and I'm trusting the Lord this morning that what He wants to do, it's going to be powerful for you in your walk with Him. That you're going to experience something of His goodness through hearing His message to you this morning. You see, when God speaks, He doesn't just speak to the person next to you. He wants to speak to you personally this morning through His word. And I know God gave me this message at the middle of last week, actually. He spoke to me personally about this. And I know, therefore, that God speaks personally to you through this message. So, trusting the Lord to make His voice known to you this morning. So you'll hear Jesus speak with your heart. Jesus was actually speaking in these two chapters in Matthew to His followers. And He had a certain group of people who followed Him, like a lot of us here today are followers of Jesus. And this group of people were different to Jesus than all the crowds, because crowds actually used to follow Jesus for a while, get miracles, and then go home. But He had followers that stuck with Him, wanted to know what He wanted in this world and in their lives, and actually just kept going with Jesus. And I tell you, there's nothing more valuable than to just keep going following Jesus. Because it's a long journey as we travel through life, but Jesus actually is the one we are called to follow. So He's actually speaking, not to the crowds, but to His own disciples. And I think that's really important that we understand this morning, that if you are a follower of Jesus, He is speaking directly to you. And it's relevant, this message, because I believe it's exactly what every single person who's listening needs to hear this morning. And in these two chapters, He's speaking about how He wants His followers to live. But He's also saying something. We're going to cut in on a wonderful passage of Jesus' teaching about how He perceives you and me, and how He loves to take care of His own people. What a thought, that Jesus doesn't just want followers, He wants to take care of those who follow Him. So Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 25 and just read through to 34. So these are, I've got a Bible that's got words in red, which actually sort of highlight that these are the words of Jesus. All the Bible is the word of God, God's word. But these are the very words of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, that's speaking of people who don't believe, run after all these things, And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Even each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus speaks about a very relevant issue in every generation and very, very relevant in our time. He's speaking about worry, anxiety, which are the plague of our world today and can plague your life if you're not careful to do what Jesus says. And he's also speaking about running after things. And I know that the pursuit of things in life is actually anti-following Jesus. That's what he is saying. You can't pursue things for the rest of your life. You must be those who are pursuing me. Because that's where the blessing and the addition of all that God's got for you will be put into your experience. You will experience everything being added to you if you pursue Jesus and his kingdom. Now that's an incredible promise. And Jesus wants to hit on the head the reality of worry and anxiety and say, that needs to change in the life of my followers. Tell somebody next to you, worry and anxiety needs to change in your life as you follow Jesus. And Jesus is speaking in pictures, and he uses pictures. And I don't know about you, but if you think about a picture, it speaks 1,000 words, doesn't it? I mean, did anybody see a photo of the Queen in that green? That spoke 1,000,000,000 words. That was bright. And we see her dressed for the tattoo yesterday. I mean, it was just, whoa. Brighter than anything else on that balcony. And a picture actually speaks volumes. And can we have these lights off? Because we can't see the... Thank you, Si. Jesus speaks about God feeding creation, particularly about birds. And he says, consider or look at or think about for a little moment whilst we're here today, birds and your Father feeding them. Now, this week I had an opportunity to look outside and see somebody put a bird feeder outside their place. And the lights, it's really, it's a very bright day today. Hence the photos aren't that clear. But a bird feeder, somebody had to go and kind of get that and organize that feeder, buy the food, and actually put it there so that the birds would be attracted to the food. And Jesus said, I want you to consider the birds, how even this morning when I woke up really early, they were making a heck of a row, and they were eating. You knew they were enjoying themselves and enjoying the feast that is prepared for them in creation. And Jesus says, think about how God provides for the birds. They're not all dead this morning, starving, because God himself provides for a bird. Isn't that a wonderful picture of God's heart for his creation? How he desires to provide for creation. And then he says, think about, look at, consider the lily of the field. Now that is a beautiful flower, isn't it? And he said, does it toil? Does it put a lot of effort into looking like that? Have you ever walked past a lily and it's going, just trying to be looking like I should? It's not working at being what it is. And how much of our lives are sort of surrounded or immersed in this drivenness and this working at trying to be something or someone. Whereas Jesus has created someone new when you accept him as Lord and Savior. You're a new creation. And all old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And you are exactly now in Christ Jesus what God wants you to be. You don't have to try to be. You are. So we're not trying to be a Christian. We are. We're not trying to be right with God. We are. We're not trying to be accepted by God. We are. We're not working at acceptance because Jesus Christ accepts us through faith in him. And so Jesus brings these pictures of creation to say, just think for a moment about birds and lilies. Now, you might not be somebody who's that interested. You might not be a bird watcher, which I'm not. Or you may not be that interested in flowers. But Jesus wants to draw our attention to something so important that he says, if you really think about God's provision for a bird, how much more valuable are you to God? There's no comparison to your value with a bird. Aren't you happy about that? Slightly more valuable to God than a bird. Because you are his work of art. You are his workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus. And so when he looks at you, he says, you are the best of all that I've ever made. And you are the person I love. And I personally love you and have made you to be all that you are in my Son. And therefore your value is massive to me. You are massively valuable to God. Tell somebody next to you, I like that. You're not struggling to be accepted, struggling to work out your kind of Christian walk. You're not struggling to be someone. Jesus has already made you someone in his Son. And you can just take all the pressures off of trying to be, rather than just living in his value, in his acceptance, and in his love for you. But Jesus is also saying something here about provision. Because God doesn't just love the birds, he provides. That's one of the expressions of love. When you love somebody, you want to do them good. You want to provide for them. There's no parent that has got natural intentions. Good, you know, normal, not evil, that doesn't want to do their children good. God wants to do his children good. And Jesus is communicating a message here to those followers who would spend their lives serving God. I want to do you good. I want to bless you. I want to be your provider. I want you to never get up one day and not have all that you need for that day. That's who Jesus is communicating your Heavenly Father is. You see, we can so struggle with cares and worries and concerns about life. We can be concerned about our kids, our work. Working life can bring so many stresses into people's lives. Jesus says, I do not want you to be thinking about what you are struggling to get through. I want you to right now think about me and my goodness and my ability to provide for all of creation. The reason creation isn't gone is because God continues to supply. And so I want you to begin to think about my goodness, my abundance, my heart to do people good, but particularly my own family, my children, those who've been born again to faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let pressure get to you. Take the pressure off and look at a bird or a lily. Isn't it amazing how you can go for a walk and instead of just being immersed in all your concerns and cares, you stop thinking about that and you start to look at a tree. And you begin to appreciate the immensity of God in creating that tree. Or you see an animal in a field and you think, God made that. Isn't he amazing? Well, I'm sure he can make something out of this situation that I can't deal with. I'm not going to worry about it because he did all of this. So he's definitely going to do what he promises in providing for me. And it's a shift of focus every day that we need to make. Not on our cares and concerns, but onto him. And Jesus uses these powerful pictures of creation to say, don't let the pressure get to you. Don't let work, business, having kids, raising kids, being a good parent, being a good granny or granddad, being a good provider. Don't let the pressure of not having business coming in get to you. I don't want you to be concerned about your life. I don't want you to be concerned about provision. That's not your job, it's mine. Isn't it great that it's God's job to provide for his children? And we're not to take on that job. That role is beyond you. Because you are never called to take it on. Now there are responsibilities. We are to work. We are to apply ourselves in life. But our focus and our source of provision is never our job, our circumstances. And it's never ever to come from another person. God is our provider and he's a good God. We can also, and I have to say, this is what the Lord spoke to me about this week and said, you've got a problem. You need to put this right. And it's all to do with spiritual growth. How many of us can get into, I'm not where I should be spiritually? Has anybody ever been, I'm not doing as well as I'd hoped I would by now. Has anybody been there? Okay. And the Lord said, because I'm always like that. I'm always thinking, oh, I wish I could improve, change, be better at my job. I wish I could, you know, I want the church to be mature, to grow up into living completely sold out for Jesus. I have a passion for you to leave everything and follow him in everything. Amen. I have a passion for our kids and our teenagers to be on fire for Jesus. I have a passion for the move of the Spirit that we've been talking and preaching about, that God is doing something new with the life of the Spirit amongst us. And I kind of got to a point where, am I hearing God? What's happening? Things aren't quite as good as I'd hoped. There'd be more people getting saved, although there are people getting saved, but it's never enough. Because I know the Lord wants to save everybody. He's not willing that anyone perish. And so I can quickly come under pressure. Yeah, I can come under pressure. Oh, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong. Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we seeing more growth? Why are people so lazy spiritually? It must be my fault. Well, it's not. But anyway, as long as I do give you the best, then that's your job, and not to be lazy. But you can be passionate and have spiritual God-given goals, which are the same. But the way to reaching those goals is not pressure. And the way to reaching those goals isn't anxiety. I remember ministering to somebody who was really struggling hearing God. And it was like they were so bound up, afraid about hearing God. They were stressed out about hearing God. Well, I said, then you're not going to. You're not going to hear God stressed. You're only going to hear God when you come to peace and you trust Him. That the Lord is your shepherd and He will lead you and guide you and speak to you. But when you're stressed, you can't hear. And so Jesus is saying, relax. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Consider how great and amazing and loving and gracious and good your Heavenly Father is. And He's going to provide everything you need. Everything. Now you see, I don't just believe in material provision, do you? See, I believe in a God who's interested in every aspect of our lives. So He's interested in you prospering in every way. Now, I'm not talking about get rich quick preaching, although if you get rich, I trust you're like Abraham living sold out for Jesus, because he was the richest man. So God isn't against wealth. He's against people loving money and things. But prosperity is so much more than money, because many people are ruined by wealth. Their relationships, they end up lonely. I watched a program recently about millionaires. And this guy lived in this gold-covered walls and mansion somewhere in London. It was one of his many mansions. And he'd had a son years before, but his son wouldn't even talk to him. He was estranged from his wife. He'd had many, many relationships. None of them had worked. And as he stood in his kitchen being interviewed, he actually said, I don't know what I did it all for. I have no one. And so prosperity isn't just money, it's people. It's relationships. It's friendships that really, really matter. Prosperity is having a healthy soul, where your mind and will and emotions are full of blessing, positivity, and the life of the Holy Spirit. And so prosperity can never be just about money. But obviously, poor isn't good. But even if you are, God can still provide out of all of His abundance of creation. But He doesn't want us to live in poverty in any area of our lives. And I say that with total conviction this morning. There is no area we are called to live in poor. Jesus became poor for us that we might become rich in Him. And I'm talking about this well-being. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its emptiness. No. In all its needs, no. He said, I've come to give you life, and life in all its abundance, fullness. And so Jesus said, I want you to get the picture of who God really is, because anxieties and cares can create a picture and a shift of focus in your heart where you start to believe that life is always going to be slightly substandard. And you've got to change the picture. So He uses pictures to speak. So that you live with an inner image and a faith in a God who cares and has nothing but plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. A God who plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That's why he is worth following. That's why Jesus said, I don't want you to follow money, wealth. I want you to follow me, because if you follow me, all that you need, that prosperity of the whole person, will happen. You might not be the wealthiest person on the earth, but you will be the most joyful, the most fulfilled that you personally could ever be in every aspect of your life. And so all of this is connected to following him and doing exactly what Jesus asks us to do every day. Taking the pressure off. It doesn't mean you don't pray. But you don't live under this, oh, I've got to pray another hour. I know people who pray too much. Don't think there are many here. And maybe that's the other side of the coin that needs, not out of pressure, but out of leadership. Jesus leads us, doesn't he, to pray. Jesus actually calls us to fast in the same chapter. And so there's a balance of a picture going on here. And basically you're saying, I want you to be really totally consumed and interested in what I'm doing and want to do in this world. And when you do that, all things will be added. When you are full on seeking first, isn't it interesting you said first, the kingdom? Seeking first. What's first? Not your family. Not your business. Not your job. Not your personal kind of whatever I want to do. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And he's got nothing but good things to be added. God can't give you bad. He's a good father. And he gives good gifts to his children. Tell somebody, I'm going to follow Jesus and get the good gifts that he wants to give me. Psalm 37. Let's just look at this amazing, the second part of the verse. Doesn't matter if it doesn't come up on the screen. I'll just say it quickly, but it's amazing. Psalm 37, verse... Oh, no. Must be Psalm 35. I hope I get it right now because it's such a good one. But if not, I know it off by heart. Here we go. Second part of Psalm 35, verse 27. The Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. Yippee! I'm his servant. Is anybody serving God with their lives? Serving the purpose of God with your life? God says, I'm absolutely delighted when you're really doing great. I'm delighted to bless you. I'm delighted to prosper your soul. Your emotions. I am absolutely delighted to get you healed of anything that's wrong. I am delighted to make sure that you'll have more than enough provision for everything I call you to do. You see, Jesus said, where I am, there my servants will be. You see, these disciples hadn't gone home and said, oh, there aren't many miracles today. I think I'll pop off. They stayed with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They were willing to give things up for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? But he was saying, even if you give things up for me, I'll add. And I'll add what makes you so totally satisfied as a person. You see, I believe We all go through tests and trials, and we go through times where you can't see obvious provision. I've been there financially. I've been there with friendships and relationships. I've been there, not really knowing, you know, where's anything going to come from? But never once, as I've set my heart to follow Jesus, has he not supplied all that I needed in that time. And he is able to provide for everything, even when nothing's there. Because he's that kind of God. And not only does he supply just enough, he supplies leftovers. Yes. Tell somebody next to you, he's the God of the leftovers. More than enough with more over. He delights in the prosperity, the well-being of his servants. What a picture that you need to get. You know, this is an in-house thing, but I absolutely enjoy being with Pastor Andrea. When anything good happens, I go, isn't God amazing? She just looks at me and says, he loves us. I said, he just loves us. And her whole value system is, he loves me. And so she's prospering because she's in faith. Well, he loves us. Of course it's going to go well. Of course the outcome's going to be good. He loves us. He just loves you. It's going to go well. He loves you. As you follow him, he loves you. And he'll look after you. I don't know. It's not a revival meeting, but it's a good one. It's a good one. It's time to believe it. Because Jesus wanted to change the picture of what you actually believe about God. Sometimes it takes a while to change the picture. If people have messed you up, spat you out, it's time to change the picture, because it's what you believe that will actually change what God does in your life. Because Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done. So he's very, very diligent in building a picture in his followers to say, I want you to see right, think right, believe right, because that will result in a drawing of me into your circumstances. He loves me, he's my provider, and he will supply all I need, and that's it. I do not have to be concerned about my life. I know it's a warm one this morning, but we are engaged, aren't we? I know some of you could be tempted to sleep. I'm looking at you. There's a couple dropping off. A couple of guys just, they've been working hard, I know. But Jesus has got a good word for you to put into your heart this morning that has power to change your provision. If you believe this, you will change what's actually going to be added. And so it's important we hear the word, because faith comes from hearing. It's not just a nice message, it's just to bring you to real faith this morning, because according to your faith, it will be done. I never expect to be miserable. I have no expectation to end up tired, lonely, and on my own. That's it. You can believe what you like, but I'm going there. I never believe I'm going to finish sick. Why believe that? What picture are you living with? It's amazing. Change what you're thinking, Jesus has said. Get a new picture of your value to God. You are so immensely valuable to God as an individual. He loves his whole church, but he actually values you and wants to do you good. See, I think worries like, I had this yesterday, worries a bit like canoeing upstream. Has anybody ever, when I was younger, my brothers put me in a canoe and said, go on, go that way. And of course they knew it was upstream, I didn't have much of a clue. And I was going against the flow. And as I was going against the flow, I was paddling and I was working so hard. And I think worry can be putting all your effort into something, but you feel like you're going upstream against the current. Worry will always put you against the current. There's no flow of God in worry. You're going to work so hard at getting healed. You're going to work so hard at hearing God. You're going to work so hard at being a good Christian. You're going to work so hard in making business life work. You're going to work hard to bring customers in. You're going to work hard to find a partner in life. You're going to work so hard to be a mother. I mean, you'll be worn out. And this is what this guy is. If you can't, sadly, it's too bright this morning. We should have had the blinds closed. But let me tell you, he's worn out. He looks like he's been through a rough time. And all you have to say to him is, turn around. Turn around. Have a go the other way. Don't go worry way. It's that effort. Turn around. If you just turn around that canoe, guess what? It'll take you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
Rather than working against your circumstances. There we are. He's much happier there. That's a different guy. Because the other one didn't turn around. He was too butch. He was like, look at me. I'm cool. I'm going to keep going because I know I can beat this thing. No, you can't. You can't beat the world. You haven't come to the kingdom for such a time as this to live the way the world lives. You've come into the kingdom to know the way God works. And God works by faith. And flowing with him through life. Faith is like a current, a flow of the life of God, of abundance. Wherever God is, there's abundance. There's no lack. In Jesus' ministry, there was never lack of anything. The disciples never ever went hungry. He provided for everything they needed. And they had families. Some of them had left their families to follow Jesus. And I'm telling you, I think he was speaking to his followers then and saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. I know you think you're the provider of your family, but I am. Peter must have said, we've got wife and kids at home. What are they doing today? Have we got any fish? Then nobody's fishing. What are we going to do? We're serving God. Nobody's fishing. Who's going to fish? Where's it all going to come from? I mean, it's all very well to sit around this rabbi and hear his teaching and have a nice time with Jesus and miracles and wow. But what about the family? Well, it's not your job anyway. Your job's to follow Jesus. And trust him to provide. Change of focus. Change of responsibility. Come on. Come on. And it doesn't mean there isn't a responsibility, a right responsibility, but it's not a heavy weight. And in the end, you and your family are in God's hands if you keep them there. I reckon his hands are big enough for little old you. And I don't care how many kids you've got. He's got all of us anyway. He's got lots of kids. And all over the world today, he said, oh, don't worry, I'll provide. China, Africa, New Zealand, Australia, all over the world. It's okay, I'm your Heavenly Father. I made it all anyway. Don't worry about it. I know what you need. Jesus said your Father knows what you need. Before you even ask, he knows. Because he loves you. When you love somebody, you know about them. Oh, he delights in prospering his servant. This isn't lazy, and I like this picture because the canoe actually means I'm applying myself. I've got an oar, okay? So that God's taking me along, but I'm working in partnership with the Lord. You see that? I'm not just like, no, I don't need to work. I just stay here and pray. No, I'm working in partnership with the Lord. I'm doing what Jesus says to do. I read the word, and I put it into practice. Okay, so I'm actually applying myself to the Christian life. I'm applying myself to reading my Bible and doing what Jesus said. And in doing the word, doing what he says, I get into the flow. Now, if you think the banks of the river are outside the will of God, there are boundaries to a river, aren't there? And if you're on the bank, you're not in the river. And that's what I call outside God's will, not doing what God wants with your life. But if you're in his will, doing what he says, the flow is going to take you. And there is an abundance in his path. There's an abundance of provision wherever he leads you to go. When you're in that canoe, you're going the same direction as God. The same purpose. And Jesus said, it isn't just about not worrying. It's about directing the focus of your life on God's work. Why you're really here, it's for God and His kingdom. You're not really here for God just to bless you. You're here to work in partnership with the Lord for the kingdom. I've heard people say, well, I'm a Christian businessman or woman. That's what I do. It's my call. It's not your only call. You're called to seek first the kingdom, serve in the life of the church, pray, make disciples. We're all here to make disciples. Hello. Go into all the world, be a witness, and make disciples. It's not your only job. Your job isn't your only job. We're here for His business, aren't we? Get involved with God's work. And you will come into that abundance because you're working with God in your life. And I'm going to finish with something that I believe is really important to see a flow and a release of provision, a continuous flow of provision in our lives. And that is, have you ever, well, let me use the analogy, a canoeist, have you ever been canoeing or boating and you hit, the water gets really shallow and you hit, the bottom of the canoe hits the rock or the bed underneath, the gravel, and you're like, it's like putting the brakes on. Yes? Nobody ever been canoeing? Has anybody ever done canoeing? But you can imagine it, can't you? That when you come, when the water stops really flowing, you're too close to the rocks, the brakes are on. And your canoe, you can be paddling all you like, but you aren't going where because you're stuck. And I think lots of Christians get stuck. And maybe, you know, saying I'm within the will of God, I'm not kind of in this kind of sin, I'm doing what I believe Jesus wants me to do. But I think some Christians get stuck on this particular issue. And this issue is, the thing that will stop the flow in your life is if you stop giving. You stop giving. Now, I don't mean just financially. Please hear me. But I do mean financially. I mean both. I mean everything. When you stop giving and start to be selfish. Selfishness is like your canoe hitting a rock. And it's like you're all happy, but suddenly, why aren't I seeing a flow? Why aren't I moving? Why isn't I sensing the life of the Spirit flowing? What's wrong, Lord? Well, you're grounded because actually you've stopped giving. Now, let me explain this with a kind of just basic testimony. I was speaking to a couple, not in this country, so it's okay, it's not one of you. And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, well, marriage. Oh, okay. So I said, I kind of just listen to what your marriage is like, what happens, and what's wrong. Well, you know, they could have gone on for days. They could have gone hours and hours talking about what was wrong. I just said, you know, the trouble is, you've been the star, both of you. And when anybody's the star in the marriage, either the male or the female, when anybody's the star, there's going to be trouble. Because the star wants all the attention. The star wants all the serving. I married you so you could give to me. I married you so you could do what I wanted, so that I could have my vision for my life. And they were both like that, nightmare. That's what you call nightmare. Usually it's just one, but this was both. They were both but you're here to bless me. And I said, well, the answer's simple. Jesus said it. The answer is extremely simple. You've got to kind of die to what you want and live to love and bless the other. So your role in marriage is to do your partner good. Is to be a servant to bless the other. Can you see how being a taker actually is a problem? How you can get your marriage on the rocks? Think of the canoe. Selfishness. Pastor Michael, who used to be a minister here, anytime there are marriage issues, and he said it, not me, and I don't think it's the only thing, but he said most of marriage issues, and the reason why women look so ragged, is because men are selfish. Now, this is a pastor who's been in the church for years. Now, that's a general comment, and I trust it's no married man here today. This is not a pointed word for somebody. But I think we don't train up our kids to think giving rather than taking. And we're not going to bless them long term if they're not servants, but they think they're there to be served. You cannot live in the blessing and provision of God as a taker. You must learn and grow rich in giving. People join a church and say, the church is here for me. It's like, same as the marriage problem. Everything about this church is to bless me. And yes, we are here to be a blessing. I want to bless you with what God has given me to bless you with. However, you're here to bless me and us. You have a part to play serving in the church. Giving to the body of Christ. Giving to your brothers and sisters. Not just taking what you want, but learning to serve, as Jesus said, lay down your life for one another. And so if you stop giving, sometimes we start and then get fed up. Whether it's marriage, church, or even witnessing, bring a blessing to the world. We are here for the world. Hello? You are not here just for church and you. You see, selfishness is all about my own needs, my own prayers, my own little circle of friends, my own family ties. That's it. Aren't you glad the early church were not tied to their families so much they didn't preach the gospel? And I'm glad in our generation that God is raising a church that is not being selfish, but is living to give. And the thing is, give, Jesus said, and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So it's in the giving that it's almost like that river increases in strength and speed. Hello? How many of you want that abundant flow to be so powerful it sweeps you along? Amen. Grow rich in giving, in your family life, in this body. If you're a member of this body, do not visit the church. Become a part of giving and serving that will transform the blessing in your life. You are blessed to be a blessing. And wherever you work, wherever you go, God wants to use you to prosper others. There's a proverb that speaks of prosperity. I'm going to read it, actually. I'm just going to finish with this, and then we're going to pray for the flow of blessing and grace on our lives as we follow Jesus. Let me look. Proverbs chapter 11. Just going to read verse 24. How you doing? Great. Nearly there. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to provide for you. But you're not going to hit a rock and stop the flow, are you? by being selfish. Live to give. Be generous in every way. Verse 24, one person gives freely and gains even more. You know, Joanna Lumley, there was an article in the newspaper or magazine this week. She's not, I don't know that she's a Christian. She actually says, you know, I can't believe it. The more I give to charity, the more comes back. Because it's a principle of sowing and reaping. The more I give, the more comes back. That's what Jesus said. The more you give, the more comes back. Good measure, pressed out, running over. Don't you want to be running over? More than enough for every good work. Give. Then it says here, another withholds unduly, but it comes to poverty. Poverty of soul. Poverty of mind and emotions. You become poor when you're a taker. You don't prosper physically taking. You prosper giving. And you don't prosper financially taking. You will never break into the flow of abundance by keeping back what rightfully belongs to God. 10% of all your income, just to make that clear declaration of truth, you will never prosper. Something in your life will hit a rock. And you'll wonder why you're not seeing a breakthrough. Relationally, don't live in isolation. Don't live just to be here. Live to be a blessing. And the more that you give, the more that God will give back. And I promise you, with all of my heart, this is what Jesus said. The more you give, the more you will receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. And the last scripture is the next verse. A generous person will prosper. How many of you want to prosper? Right. What do you need to be? Hospitality, you know, is massive in church life. Building the church, building the body. Opening, if you have a home, open it and invite people. Don't drag them in. But be open to looking after people and caring for people and being a part of God's blessing for others. Don't just live to just have your own home that nobody comes this place. I'm not having anybody here. It's mine. This is my retreat. Well, get over your retreat. Repent and open up your door. Baby doll. Thought I'd just say it. Like, God purchased all of you. That includes all you have. Doesn't belong to you anyway. It's His. You're His. Everything you have is His. Open up your wallet, your home, your heart. And allow God to bless you in ways you wouldn't even believe it. But you've got to start the process. Get off the rocks and start the flow. Amen. A flow of abundance is always going to flow into the lives of givers, not takers. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.